Hey, everybody. Hope you're enjoying your evening here on a lovely Wednesday night. We're coming to you live from Norwalk, Connecticut, Perry Avenue Bar and Grill. I'm Mike DePalma. To my right, I got Neil Lynch back in studio.
What's up, everybody?
After his little hiatus on the Gotham Comedy Club, you can check that out everywhere, dailymotion.com and everything. Nice set. Probably your last show with us. Are you gonna?
Well, I'm no longer allowed at Gotham. I know that.
That was it. Once I'm done, half of our team is out with the flu. So I'm gonna stick like a little note on the door. It says, "I'll stick with the flu."
Yeah, I'm actually wearing a surgical mask.
I don't want to kiss those demons. I got my shot, so I think I'm good. But really, pretty eventful day in the sports world. So I think there's only one place to start, you know, it's on the top of everybody's mind, and that's gun control.
And that's Tim Tebow.
I think we really need to delve 90 minutes into the gun control issue, hash out pros, cons,
yep.
Just really work it out.
We're going to solve it.
it'll be the Tri-State Sports Guns. Now, the officers, we had this whole lineup of what we want to talk about, but then this Manti Te'o comes out of nowhere. You start catching it at 4:30, 4:45 this afternoon. I start seeing things on Twitter, and I'm like, what is going on here? Everybody's making fun of it, cracking jokes. Sure enough, I go to Deadspin. I'm willing to say, well, let me start with this. Can I just catch a break?
No.
A little break in the sports world.
Yeah.
But maybe, just maybe, one of the teams that I root for doesn't completely embarrass himself. I mean, week after week, I get made fun of for the Jets. And it's fine. Week after week. And this week, I'm sitting there saying, well, what's Neil going to make fun of this week? Rex Ryan's been nowhere to be seen. Woody Johnson's been nowhere. I know Tim Tebow's brother, made pokes some fun at Peyton. We'll get into that a little later on. But I'm like, you know what? It's going to be a nice calm week. The Mets are winning. The Mets are on a nice little roll. The Mets are on the verge of a blockbuster re-signing, possibly Scott Harrison.
Yeah.
Scott Harrison could be back. Think of that. Let that settle in.
Yeah.
The Scott Harrison could be back in a Mets uniform next year. So I'm like, these things are good in my sports life. You know, I've been doing the show for just over 2 years, and I never swear on the show. My mom listens to the show. Your mom, I would never disrespect your mother to swear on the show.
Oh, well, my mom swears more than anyone before.
But Manti Te'o, are you shitting me? Are you shitting me, Manti Te'o? I sit here and read this article, and as I'm reading it, it's just getting more insane and more insane. Neil, why don't you walk through, for anyone listening that hasn't heard the story, give me just a quick synopsis of the news story from Deadspin. Can we just admit now that the only place to go for any real sports news is Deadspin? They're unbelievable. They are the best at breaking stories.
They are. And it's a little something called investigative journalism. And that's something that Jon Stewart, the Daily Show host, has taken CNN to task.
I heard that. Yeah, yeah.
He went on CNN, and for about 10 minutes, he
they got rid of their department.
He got just straight up cut it. Not cut the budget. We'll go down to one guy, and they'll just investigate. Nope, got rid of it. And this is why you can't get rid of it, because the story's like this. If you don't have people digging and digging and digging, and I have a buddy of mine in South Carolina who writes for a local paper, and this guy is like sleuthing. And he works for a local paper, South Carolina paper.
He's just Gamecock all the time down there.
He's exposing cocaine rings in Atlantic City. Not even in South Carolina. I mean, they're tied to South Carolina. But I talked to this guy, and I'm like, this is what we've lost over the past, I don't know how many years, due to the immediacy.
I think it's pretty recent, 3-4 years, really.
3-4 years, because the immediacy of the internet,
of
Twitter, of social media, and the Facebook, it, you know.
All you can say is one-liners.
One-liners.
Or things that will get somebody's attention.
And boom. That's fact. And then all of a sudden people are just riding with that.
Yeah.
And running with it. And this is the fact that what blows my mind, and I'll go through it. And
walk us through it, and then we'll break this thing down as best as we can. Because I still don't really understand it, but you break it down to me.
I still don't know how to pronounce the dude's name, so I'm probably not the best guy.
Manti, it's a hard eye.
It's a hard eye. It's a man thigh.
Yeah,
not a woman's eye. A man thigh.
K-O.
K-O.
Wow.
So he kind of blew up in September.
Yeah.
There's a big article about him in Sports Illustrated.
Oh, I remember watching the pregame for the game against Michigan State.
Right.
with the tears.
And this was his breakout game. He had 12 tackles and he had 2 picks.
Yeah.
And a lot of columnists and people, that's when they fell in love with him. Okay. Because he had just lost his grandmother, and he apparently had just lost his girlfriend.
6 hours apart.
Within 6 hours of each other.
Yeah.
Turns out, and so the story, this is where the story goes out of control, because everyone picks up on this story about him losing his grandmother and his girlfriend and the fact that he was in love with this girl. They talk on the phone every night.
When she was in, like, a coma after her car accident, her, like, heart would race when
his voice would call her. She's in a coma.
Yeah.
He would call her. They put the phone to her ear, and her heartbeat
this
would
wasn't
change.
Just, like, a little back-end story. There was, like, huge, like, things interwoven into this story. We knew this girl. I felt like I grew up with this girl.
This is a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a movie. And you could only, you could make,
it was a Nicholas Sparks book up until about 2 hours.
Yeah. You really couldn't make it up. Only, yeah, you can, apparently. So the story is, all these major media outlets, I mean major media outlets, CBS This Morning is one of them that they had on the in the Deadspin article. They embedded a video from CBS This Morning just lauding him and lavishing
him. The guy was a national hero.
I mean, I talked to a coworker today. Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
So, you know, people from ESPN College Game Day, South Bend Tribune, I mean, like, Notre Dame's beat writer are covering this story.
Yeah. I'm sure that Notre Dame beat writer's whole job is to cover it. They probably had somebody just on that story.
There are zero records of this girlfriend.
Yeah.
Zero. Other than her Twitter account.
Right. No obituary.
No obituary.
You would think that as a reporter, you would look and say, let me post the obituary.
No funeral announcement.
Let me post, services will be held.
Nothing in the Stanford student newspaper. They checked with the Stanford registrar's office. No record of this check.
I don't understand somebody at Stanford didn't be like, well, I should know this guy. I mean, I know Stanford's obviously a big school. But you got to figure somebody would be like, I never heard of this girl.
No record of her birth.
Yeah.
And all they had to go on was Twitter and Instagram.
Instagram.
Come to find out that the photos on Twitter and Instagram are about some other random chick.
Some other beautiful baby.
Although she's not random. She apparently went to high school with this other dude.
Tuiasosopo.
Whose name I can't pronounce.
Well, I remember he has like an uncle who's playing in the NFL. Tuiasosopo. I think it's that first name's Marcus or something.
Is that the same dude?
That was, in the article, it says that it was like his uncle. This is his kid's nephew or something.
Yeah, so this guy, Renaha Tuiasosopo.
Ronnie. We'll call him Ronnie.
We'll call him Ronnie.
Ronnie T.
Captain Ron.
Captain Ronno.
He was a football player, and like Mike said, he had a lot of family that had played professional football. And so apparently, he reaches out to this chick that he went to high school with, and is like, "Hey, so and so, we're pulling for, we're praying for. Can you take the picture holding up this piece of paper with these letters on it?"
Yeah.
And it's for good cause, blah, blah. So she does it. She's like, "Oh, why not? Good cause."
I mean, who would not trust Ronnie T?
I would never trust this dude. Look at him.
Yeah.
I don't want to judge.
Look, I'm Italian, but the blowout there, I got a lot of friends with the blowout, which I love them.
Yeah.
They're not staying at my house, watching the house on the way.
Yeah.
They're not doing, you know what I mean? That should be a tip off. The paper cybers and the blowout.
Yeah. They're not house-sitting.
No,
they're not babysitting.
No. You go to a bar with them.
Yeah.
Go catch a Jet game with them.
Strip club. I'm there.
Oh, yeah. But they are not staying there. They're not watching Jameson, I'll tell you that.
This guy's got a blowout.
He's got a black and white picture with just the Instagram where the rose is pink.
Oh, wow. So he's like, he's 22 now, but he was also a football player. He might have been recruited by Hawaii, but that never came out.
Who knows what the guy is? He probably never played sports.
He probably doesn't even exist either.
Yeah. All right, so keep going. I'm sorry.
This guy, he's now apparently boys with Manti.
Yeah.
He apparently starts this fake Twitter for this girl, completely fabricated, and is now interacting with Manti.
Completely straight.
He then invents her sister. A fake Twitter for her sister, another fake Twitter with pictures from another girl who ends up the girl that the photos of the girl that he uses end up contacting the guy who made Catfish.
No, that's not true.
Yes.
That can't be true.
I swear to whatever this guy prays to.
Whatever Ronnie T is into. Okay. So that is, it is, that's what I'm saying. There's so many layers to this story. It is the most insane story I've ever heard in sports. Ever.
This girl whose pictures that this guy is using, Donna Tai Dante, reached out to Nev Schulman, the star of the 2010 film Catfish.
Yeah.
And they now have an MTV show to see what the deal is. Here's my theory. I mean, they're just a good Deadspin.com. It's like it's right there on the homepage. I actually wrote a blog post about it on our site. If you go to tristatesportsguys.com, that just you think I'm blown away now. I've used caps a lot and I used exclamation points a lot because I couldn't control myself. But there's layers upon layers upon layers, and you think to yourself, okay, so he made up a girl. Yeah, but guess what? He also made up that she was in a tragic car accident that ended.
But he saved her life by calling her every day.
Calling her every day, and that she
didn't go to a funeral because
she recovers. Then she gets leukemia.
Girl lives a tough life.
Gets leukemia. There were charities started in her name. There were people pledging money to.
He was calling sick kids, saying, "I know what you're going through."
Yep. And they take a funeral. They said there was an open casket at 9 a.m. at some place, blah, blah. Nope, didn't happen.
That did not occur.
And she was like, her last words were, "Oh, don't worry about, you know.
Yeah,
don't worry
about
me.
Play for me, man."
The last words were, "I love you." I mean, dude, this guy should be like a screenwriter.
This
right,
I'm telling you right now, this is not a bold prediction. This guy, within the next week, is going to be everywhere. This guy's going to be doing the talk show circuit. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Next week, tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, this is good. This guy's going to, we're going to know so much.
We're going to have a movie by March.
About Ronnie Kuyasobo. It is going to be, I'm going to create a Madden character for him and just see maybe his talent was untapped and maybe he's very good. It's insane. The whole thing is so crazy. And then Notre Dame's statement, first of all, if it came to their attention, like, the day after Christmas, something crazy. I heard on December
20th. Came to attention the day after Christmas. Here's the thing that really bugs me out is that Brian Kelly, there's a video of Brian Kelly, head coach, Notre Dame, giving and dedicating a game ball to this fake chick. Dedicating a game ball to her.
The thing, you know what's crazy is, like, in about 8 minutes, we're going to wake up and be like, oh, it's Wednesday morning, we got the show tonight. Because this can't be true.
No.
We're going to be like, I'd be like, Neil, I had the craziest dream that Manti Te'o and Ronnie T created this false thing. Now, Notre Dame is saying that Manti Te'o is a victim. That he...
Yeah, I was going to read this article because
he
there's zero chance.
Now, here's a couple questions I have about that whole thing. I just heard the synopsis on ESPN Radio about what their official statement was. And I do actually remember watching the pregame for that game, the Michigan State game. And I remember at first it was reported that it was a friend, a very close friend. And then very soon after that, it became his girlfriend. And then you started hearing all this.
Yeah.
So I remember thinking, like, well, was it his girlfriend? I remember that distinctly. At first, the stories were, and I don't know, is that in the article that originally
said? A statement from Notre Dame. On December 26th, this is an official statement from Dennis Brown, the university spokesman and assistant vice president. By the way, if you're a university official, I don't trust you as far as I can throw you.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
You're all corrupt. And
all
you're into, like, kids, and you, like, do drugs, and you're just a horrible person.
You're a bad guy.
Yeah. So Dennis Brown.
Probably has a blowout.
Probably has a blowout.
Paper stuff.
He's probably boys with Ronnie T.
Yeah, but Dennis and Ronnie T are boys.
This is an official statement. On December 26th, Notre Dame coaches were informed by Manti Te'o and his parents that Manti had been the victim of what appears to be a hoax in which someone using the fictitious name Lene Kakua apparently ingratiated herself with Manti and then conspired with others to lead him to believe she had tragically died of leukemia. The university immediately initiated an investigation to assist Manti and his family in discovering the motive for and nature of this hoax. While the proper authorities will continue to investigate the troubling matter, this appears to be, at a minimum, a sad and very cruel deception to entertain perpetrators. What?
Exactly. You read that and you're like, if it's your girlfriend, Well, this is Manti Te'o. I'm sure girls are throwing themselves. You think that he's sitting there going, girls, I'm spoken for. I got
a fake girlfriend.
I got a fake. Like, that's what. There's going to be so much more that comes out because I'm sure there's girls on Notre Dame campus that have some inkling, like, well, I know I hooked up with Manti Te'o in September.
Here is
he did not have a girlfriend.
Here is my bold call.
We can do top 10 bold predictions that come out of this Manti Te'o thing.
Here's my bold call. I haven't heard this, and I haven't read this anywhere. Manti Te'o is gay.
And this was his move?
And this is his move. This is his fake beard move that he was so ashamed and so worried about the backlash of, A, being a football player at a prestigious college. And B, a Catholic school like Notre Dame where homosexuality, I mean, I'm pretty sure is frowned upon.
I would guess, yeah. Now, let me ask you this, though. And if that's the case, could it be possible then that he was duped and he was just had a Twitter relationship with some, he thought it was some girl and he was like, this is my out. You're almost giving him like an out. Like he could legitimately say, well, I thought I was talking to some girl and, you know, it turns out, and then I made it into she was my, and that's why it was first recorded as a friend, and then he goes, well, I could say it's my girlfriend. And then I get out of it. And then why are you never with any of the girls? And they could be like, well, I'm not with any of the girls because I'm still heartbroken over my beautiful
Like, let's get serious for a second here. You go along with her being in a car accident and then having leukemia and then dying.
Yeah, but he's just like, okay, this is Fran or whatever who's sweeting me. And I'm like, okay, I kind of buy this and then I can get it out. The other
not thinking at all that...
Look, I'm just
none of it's real?
I don't believe it. I'm just throwing it out there that if that's the case, then that could be a possibility. The other possibility is that he conspired. You're saying he conspired with Ronnie T. Like, Kate, let's get together. We'll create a fake girlfriend for me because Ronnie T knows the scoop about Manti.
They tweeted at each other.
Yeah, I know that. So they definitely know.
They definitely know each other. There's pictures of them together. Okay.
Yeah.
There's pictures of them together on Instagram. A lot of this has been deleted, but this is how Deadspin was able to dig it up, because they did a little cachet.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we have calls calling in.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get to it. I have a feeling I know who this is calling in.
Oh, boy.
I have a small hunch I know who this is calling in. But I'm going to have to take this call. You're on with the Tri-State Sports Guys. Who's this?
Tony D.
How
are you? I mean, I feel like death. To be honest with you, you know, I got to be the one that gets the flu over here. I feel like absolute death. But for the last hour and a half, I've been completely obsessed with this friggin' story. I mean, this has got to be, first of all, I don't think Mormons can be gay, can they? Neil?
This is what I'm thinking, Tony D, is that, you know, Mormons can't be gay, and Catholics are not really big fans of the gays, and so that's why this guy has now gone through the Mormon religion and now gone through the Catholic religion, having this deep, dark secret that he knows if he comes out, he's going to be shunned like crazy, and that's why he's going to get this insane story.
I mean, this is like, for the last 2 hours, I've done nothing but like scour the internet and try to get as much detail as I can on this story. I just can't believe this. I mean, I heard Mike saying that maybe he was, you know, he could have possibly actually been a hoax and been, like, tricked by all this. But, I mean, if you look at that Deadspin article, I mean, it all but lays out the entire thing and basically tells you how he had to have known what was going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
everything down to, like,
the timeline. They lay it out as a timeline, so it really walks you right through it. It leaves really no room for error. So I don't know. Hold on one second. We got to read, and you probably have seen it, but it's new to us. Neil's going to read you Manti Te'o's official statement. Hold on one second.
Yeah. So this came out 6:10 p.m. I was like sprinting for the train at this point, but this is Manti Te'o's statement on the matter. This is incredibly embarrassing to talk about, but over an extended period of time, I developed an emotional relationship with a woman I met online. We maintained what I thought to be an authentic relationship by communicating frequently online and on the phone, and I grew to care deeply about her. To realize that I was the victim of what was apparently someone's sick joke and constant lies was and is painful and humiliating. It further pained me that the grief I felt and the sympathies expressed to me at the time of my grandmother's death in September were in any way deepened by what I believe to be another significant loss in my life. I am enormously grateful for the support of my family, friends, and Notre Dame fans throughout this year. To think that I shared with them my happiness about my relationship in detail that I thought to be true about her just makes me sick. I hope that people can understand how trying and confusing this whole experience has been. In retrospect, I obviously should have been much more cautious. If anything good comes of this, I hope it is that others will be far more guarded when they engage with people online than I was. Fortunately, I have many wonderful things in my life, and I'm looking forward to putting this painful experience behind me as I focus on preparing for the NFL draft.
Bullcrap! Yeah, Tone, what's your response to that? Have you seen that?
I have not seen that, but first of all, it's complete crap, like Neil said. It's complete bullshit. And let me ask you a question. Didn't they meet after?
People have done worse things today.
What was that?
People have done far worse things today than curse on the radio.
I bet. But let me ask you a question. Didn't the whole thing, didn't they meet after, they supposedly meet after a Notre Dame Stanford game?
He said, yeah, the story was they met after Notre Dame Stanford game, and I heard that she flew to Hawaii at one point.
They hung out in Hawaii.
They hung out in Hawaii.
The father said that.
Yeah. So the father can't claim ignorance on this. He's on record saying that they would meet up in Hawaii on
the
break.
That was the ASI story, right?
Yeah.
And didn't Manti Te'o say that he did say that they met at it after that game, right?
Oh yeah. That, like he said it. So immediately when you look at that, and in the first two sentences, he's lying, like a blatant lie. He's either lying now or he's lying, you know, 6 months ago, 5 months ago.
I mean, he's denying that he ever hung out with her or met her at all. But yet there are multiple sources saying that they hung out in Hawaii. They met after a game, so I mean,
not just sources. His father and his people.
Yeah,
not like a source. Like I saw them hanging out. Not the I saw Rex Ryan's crazy tattoo. The guy said that he met her after a game, and his father said I met her in Hawaii.
This I'm telling you, 1,000%. He is gay, and he's covering it up with this ridiculous story because he's worried about his family completely disowning him.
And you know that family well.
So you think that, what did his father really meet a person? And he brought some random girl up there and said it?
Hey, Dad, I've been talking to this girl, and, I think, I've been talking to this girl. I really like her a lot.
I mean, tell everyone that you met her?
Tell everyone that, we're probably going to hang out in Hawaii and that, blah, blah. I mean, he can tell his dad this stuff.
Why couldn't he have just told his dad she was scheduled to come out?
No, yeah, well, of course.
But why wouldn't he, if that's the case, why wouldn't he just tell his father, she was supposed to come out and meet you, after the season and didn't happen? Why would he have to say, I can't imagine he would tell his father that, tell her that you met, tell everyone that you met this girl. You think he would just say,
parents,
I was going to introduce you.
But parents do this, too. So there is a little leeway, a reasonable doubt, because I've told my father before, hey, I'm going to do this, and then my father will go out.
I'm going to play video games, and I'm really going to go drink at the beach.
Yeah. And my father will be like, oh, so my son has met this person. There's that loss in translation of that game operator that you play.
That happens. Yeah. But this is like on a grand scale. I mean, you're telling newspapers this crap. You're not telling Joe down the street.
Yeah, I mean, we got to know their whole family. Tone, I mean, what is your initial reaction to what really happened? Like, do you think that him and Ronnie T just decided to concoct this whole thing? Do you think Ronnie did it and then told Manti, like, hey, I've been messing with you, it's really me? Maybe this guy did it started as a joke, and he said, he started messing with his buddy, and then it just spiraled out of his control. What do you think really happened?
Well, the thing is, when you look at that, have you read that? When you read that Deadspin article and you read the depths of what they went through to discover this whole thing, it really, in my opinion, leads me to believe that they both set it up and this was for, publicity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it leads me to believe. I mean, the amount of detail and the amount of sources and things that they came up with in this article is just, it's mind-boggling, and it makes me believe that they both did it for him to garner, you know, like, attention, basically.
I mean, the attention to detail and the level of detail on this article is insane.
Yeah.
I can't imagine two writers conspiring against Manti Te'o to do this.
Yeah, right. The article itself is cool.
I completely agree with you, Neil. I sat down and I read that entire article, and I read it actually like twice just to make sure that I wasn't missing anything and that I wasn't misreading, and it seems to be dead on, and it leaves you know, little doubt that he didn't know about it. You know, it's just that's just the way it seems to me.
And the writers went so far as to pull a quote from Teo's Twitter profile, where it's a quote from The Count of Monte Cristo, which is famous for being a novel about a man in disguise.
Yeah.
Life is a storm. You will bask in the sunlight one moment, be shattered on the rocks the next. What makes you a man is what you do when that storm comes.
And it's pretty obvious when that storm comes, you fabricate a humongous umbrella of lies. Now, at the bare minimum, we were supposed to believe that Manti Te'o was conducting what essentially is a middle school relationship, where, you know, you're like dating a girl from the other middle school, and you never see them, but you're like, call them, you know, in the early 90s, you call them, your buddy's on total phone, and quiet, like, oh, you know, I'm going to listen in, talk to this girl, and you date, and you break up, and you really never met. And you were supposed to expect that a Heisman Trophy finalist was really, that's how he dated this girl. That's hey, we're going to believe him for his word, that's what we're thinking. This guy was like, I'm not dating any other girl, I'm dating this girl because I met her online. Now, every girl in the world dreams of something like that. We're supposed to believe that. In my mind, I'm thinking to myself, everybody knows the crazy liar, like the person that'll lie and like just make up a story. Like, you know, when you're out drinking, you're like, I know that's not true. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I dated one. I think that's all.
Yeah. So like, everybody knows that person that's just a compulsive liar that tells a lie not to like get out of the problem or anything like that, just to lie just because, like, you know what I mean? Like, they need some sort of drama. And I sound like it's normally girls that do that.
It's a sickness.
And I know people like that. You know, it's what I like. That it's just like they want to make up stories, tone. I'm sure you know them too. And to me, it seems like that's what this guy is doing. It's like that's his release. That's his addiction. It's like he started this as like, and then it just started spiraling. Like, what if she got in a car accident? What if now she has leukemia? What if now she died? And then it's like, when it comes to fruition, like, and it's like, what's insane is like, what's the end game? Like, what did he really get out of it? If just his grandmother died, we would have all fallen in love with Manti Te'o because that
he didn't
was
need
enough.
It.
He didn't need it. But it was like, maybe, like, it just spiraling and falling. He's a compulsive liar, and it just came to like, and so and so died. Like, you know, it's so bad. What was me? Like, you know, it was like, he didn't need that.
Yeah.
It's like, if it was just the story of this, then I would believe that this guy, like, did it to try to, you know, raise his profile. I think it's like a mental disease.
It is. And I agree with you on that point. I think, all kidding aside, I really did date a woman who was a pathological liar.
Was it the name this girl from Hawaii?
Her name is Lene.
Met online.
No. And that's the trend. It's like you have to, it's like they're one-upping themselves. And they just keep digging a bigger hole and telling a bigger lie.
And the whole time you're sitting there going, I know none of this is true.
And I was like, yeah. It's like, come on. I saw you right there. The day any of that happened.
And you dated him for 4 years.
Yeah, we're married and divorced.
We got 3 kids. They're lovely.
They're a bunch of liars.
I mean, Tone, what the, what?
What in the what?
Can we just, can I take a break and one of my teams not be completely insane?
Well,
what was that? I said, can I catch a break in one of the teams I root for, not have some insane, crazy story behind them?
Unbelievable. Can't catch a break, Mike.
Jesus, unbelievable.
I mean, I've been in, long-distance, quote-unquote, relationships where I'm talking to a girl who's not even close by. But it usually pays off. And I usually see her.
Yeah, exactly.
And usually you'll come.
I've been in those type of relationships too. You don't see him often, but when you see him,
it's no time.
That is like what you know.
We got all the talking out of the way.
Now let's get right. We're not going to talk for the next 4 to 7 minutes.
Unbelievable.
So he told you that never happened.
No. True love. True love.
You got
knows no bounds, Neil.
But so here's the thing. Here was the major question that was circling around the internet after this came out was, does this hurt his draft stock? You know, is this going to lower him in the draft? And I said, absolutely,
100%.
And people are like, no. There were some people in my office who were like, no, it doesn't hurt his draft stock at all. In fact, it might improve because it proves to an owner that he's willing to dedicate himself to anything.
It proves to Woody Johnson.
By the time the draft comes around, this story, there's going to be so much more out, so much more detail about what really went on with these stories. I think it's going to hurt him. You know, by the time that
I think it's got to hurt him for a lot of reasons. One is, he plays linebacker position, which is a leader on the team. I mean, you see guys come in as rookies and lead the team. You can't bring, especially now, with just all these crazy background checks on guys and people falling in the draft because they have questionable backgrounds, this and that. You look at, like, Dez Bryant falling in the draft because of his, you know, his talent level put him in a top 5 pick. He falls down to the late teens or whatever when he went to the Cowboys. You get a guy like this who, realistically, I think was at best a late first-round pick, I think, talent-wise. You know, he was a guy who was like a playmaker and this and that. He's a late first-round pick at best. Now, one of the qualities of this guy that everybody liked was that he was a leader.
How genuine he was.
And he was genuine, and he could galvanize.
Good guy.
You imagine him walking into a locker room day one of camp. This guy's going to lead a team? He'll never lead a team in his life. He would have been better off if he was, you know, it was in juvie his whole life and one of those things. You can't redeem yourself because no matter what, he lost all credibility of being like a man.
Yeah.
You can't do something like this and be a man. We talk all the time about crying in the field, this and that, and I have my opinions about that. This is the most unmanly thing. And you know, it doesn't do with anything else. This has nothing to do with, like, sexual orientation or anything. I'm just saying, like, being a man means that you stand, you tell the truth. To come up with this crazy web of lies online.
And it spans a long time.
Yeah, this wasn't like I got drunk and, you know, accidentally lied or did something stupid. This was like plotted out with a friend of you, Ronnie T, who's going to have a reality show this fall on Fox.
On Bravo.
On Bravo. I mean, how could it not hurt his draft? Any team now, like I'm a Jets fan, right? And so obviously I wasn't thinking they'd get him in the ninth pick, but I was thinking to myself, he could fall in the second round. I was a legitimate thing I'm thinking of. Like, you know, we'll get him coming back around the second round. I would like that on my team. Now, there's not a fan of any team in the country that wants this guy. Even the crazy Notre Dame fans, and I'm like a Notre Dame fan, but not like one of the rabid Notre Dame fans, can't possibly be like, I want this guy on my team. Why do you want that controversy walking into your camp? This is going to crush his draft status.
And I said that. And I said I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be totally surprised if he went undrafted and someone maybe took a flyer.
Somebody will take a flyer on him. You don't have to pick up.
Yeah. But no, I don't think anyone's going to waste a pick on him. But, you know, then you have teams like the Jets. That will make headlines and say, oh, well, he can redeem himself. He can, you know, be reborn here.
This is the type of thing, though, that
the Jets or the Raiders.
Yeah, the Jets or the Raiders. But this is, or the, like, Bengals. But this is the type of thing that does worry me about Rex Ryan. Because this is like, the prototypical Rex Ryan guy. I think this was serious. I'm not even saying this is a joke around. This is the guy that Rex Ryan will say, oh, he's available to third round. He was he was projected. We had him on the board at, you know, late first, early second. We can get him now in the third round. We got to go out and get him because I could fix him. That's what worries me. And it started to be like, man, this guy's going to be a Jet. Because, you know, it's not like the Patriots or the Giants are drafting him. You know what I mean? Or the Steelers or the Packers or some of the teams that understand what it means to, like, when you take a chance, what kind of chances are you taking?
Mm-hmm.
The Jets will take a chance. He'll get drafted, but it'll be mid-round, and it'll be a big deal. And he won't get drafted on day one, and then when you, it'll be the story that
he'll be that story all day on day one.
Yeah, oh yeah, it'll be a story. They'll probably have, he'll probably be at the track, you know, like
yeah,
following around with cameras, or they'll be at his house. And then day two, you know, they do like the, it'll come up. Like, we'll have to look at Mel Kiper's stupid face all day long.
Yeah.
And ask him, Mel, what do you think about Manti Te'o?
Because, I mean, they do that with players. Like, they did that with Russell Wilson last year.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson was just short. Yeah. They did that with Russell Wilson. He's short. And now they got Manti Te'o, who basically committed one of the worst, I mean,
the worst
transgressions. I texted Tony D this. I think this is the worst story since the Penn State game. You think it's the worst story you've ever heard.
I think it's the worst story in sports I've ever heard. Granted, the Penn State game was a way worse thing, obviously.
A different kind of way.
But, like, that kind of thing happens. Like, it's horrible to say, but in our world, like, those type of, there are evil people out there that do evil things, like Jerry Sandusky. Like,
there was a lot of child raping going on at college football programs.
I think in America. Not, I mean, you know, like, there was a...
To the extent of Penn State?
The cover-up was what made it the big story. To me, an old, sketchy guy, you know, messing around with little kids happens every day all over the country. It's horrible, but it does.
I know.
It's horrible. These type of things, like...
It happened in the movie.
Like, it doesn't shock us, because you have heard other stories of an old guy in power molesting kids. Whether it's a priest, you've heard that story. You've never heard a guy like Manti Te'o
of this prolific level.
We would have opened the show with Lance Armstrong, this guy who built his whole reputation
on lies. Yeah.
And you're like, that's, I mean, his whole thing, that's what makes it so bad, is like, Derek Jeter coming out and saying, I did steroids.
Yeah.
You built your whole reputation, aside from what you did athletically, that you're the stand-up guy, and all these millions of dollars came in because of it.
But think about how
that's
long.
That's what Manti Te'o built his life on.
Well, Lance Armstrong, that's his entire life, though. Lance Armstrong did this over years and years and years.
Yeah. Well,
that's why there's...
If we ever step on this, we will get to Lance Armstrong. But we might go 90 minutes. This might be the Manti Te'o show, and next week we'll
I'm totally fine with that, because there's so many different aspects of this story and so many different levels.
It's a very complicated case, Lon.
Unbelievable.
Maybe about the reference. Can I get that in?
But I had a coworker, like I mentioned earlier, I had a coworker I was walking with after work, and he was like legitimately heartbroken. This is a guy, he's of Asian ethnicity, and I think he kind of, I don't mean to be racist, but I think he kind of identified related to Manti Te'o, because there are so few people that Manti's not Asian. That kind of close. And he was legitimately heartbroken. He was I looked up to the guy that was, and he, this is a Michigan fan.
I was hoping that
a Michigan fan.
Yeah, but still, I was rooting for Danny DePalma with the Jets, the legend. You gotta associate, that's just the way of the world. I thought I was hoping to hear from like a legitimate diehard New Haven fan. I mean,
he's a fan of New Haven. That's
but,
why I live there.
Yeah, but Will from New Haven calls in and talks about the Notre Dame all the time. I would love to hear from him. Like,
he is in a hole somewhere.
I mean, how do you? And I know Will. And Will's got to look young kids. Like, how do you even? I'm sure his kids are Manti Te'o upset.
Yeah,
you know, they're
little,
like 10 and 12.
They got the little jerseys. They got the little lay.
And then, like, how do you even explain that to your kids? Oh no! All of that thing that I just told you—that
was all a dream.
To like an 8-year-old kid. That was all, yeah, let's go watch Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah.
Because that's more realistic than this world that we live in.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane.
Those Manti jerseys are now Everett Golson jerseys.
I bet you the Manti Te'o jerseys went up in price. Like, if you go on eBay right now, they're probably like insane.
But that's the thing.
Little hipster neighborhood in Brooklyn.
Williamsburg.
I'm sure everybody now has got the cool
Manti Te'o. There are no names on the jersey.
I know,
it could be Everett Golden. I'm poking holes in you. I'm poking holes.
All right, Tony D, you got anything else?
Or did you get to change his number?
I am all set. I'm still like in shock by all this.
I'm talking to him. I just want to say the NCAA probably going to grant them that waiver, like everybody could transfer and not have to start a year. And I'm sure Brian Kelly was like, damn, I should take that NFL job. All right, what were you going to say, Tone? I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say I'm still just – I had nothing else to add. I'm still trying to absorb all of that story. It's just mind-boggling to me. But,
yeah, I was going to say you were talking before I talked over you, but I said this is like a dream come true for a kid with flu. Because you just, like, have nothing to do. You can't leave your house. You're just like, you know, I'm going to sit here with my – and just read about it.
Yeah, I read the story, and then I reread it again. And I'm just like, this got to be made up. I'm like, this whole thing can't be real. It's just unbelievable. I can't wait to see the rest of the details and what else comes out in the coming days. So
I want to take tomorrow off. Just to follow things up.
It's going
to
be declared a national holiday.
Production in America, we're going to lose billions. The stock market will drop tomorrow because of Manti Te'o, and they'll say that it's the Manti Te'o recession.
Well, I'll be home again tomorrow, so I'll be all over it.
All right. Well, keep us updated. Tone, keep us posted on the Facebook page and on our website or whatever, and keep me posted with text because I'm going to be able to check it up, and I want to know when things break, Tone, all right?
I sure will. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, brother. That's Tony D, the great Tony D, home of the influenza. It's a silent killer. So we're hoping we make it through. If not, you know, I think I've been producing pretty well tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Tony D is very replaceable.
You can go now, sweet child.
Tony D never existed. The whole Tony D never existed.
That's
and we're going to have a fake thing for him.
This is Vinny from down the block. It's Ronnie D.
Tony D. I love it. Now, let's talk a little bit about the NFL. Should we talk about sports?
Lance? Look at this segue.
But yeah, let's talk about Lance Armstrong. Now, you know from the day this show started, I just liked Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm, like, you know, jumping ship here. I never liked the fact that we had to watch and care about bicycling.
Yeah.
Right? I liked about that. I never liked the fact that, like,
I didn't even know it existed before.
Of course somebody did. The only people, and then look, I'm like a tree-hugging guy. I really am. Like, I'm all about the nature and this and that. And I'm all about, like, oh, biking seems like a cool thing to do. It's like, you know, carbon footprint and all that. But almost everybody I know that's a big cyclist sucks. In real life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you meet them, you're like, God, I just want to blow CO emissions on them. And you're like, it makes me frustrated because I'm like, anybody, and I only know one person, and you know the same person. You might not know who you got into this, but after college, got really into competitive cycling. Who on our college baseball team would you think, and of all the people, a prominent guy, really one of the best baseball players we played with, got super into
their competitive?
Two people on the team. Go ahead. What do you got? Now, none of the people listening are going to know who these people are, but we're going to explain it.
Two people.
You're going to get it first shot.
Carl Sinead.
Carl Sinead.
Wow.
And Carl Sinead was a co-captain with me when I was a senior. Awesome baseball player. Awesome guy. But he was an extremely eccentric guy. And was bizarre. Like,
he belonged in movies.
Oh, yeah. One of the most interesting people, one of the smartest people I ever met. He had, like, a perfect score on his SAT. Super smart. One of the hardest workers I've ever seen in my life.
Every time I talked to that dude, I was like, he's thinking of a way to either murder me or he's just like probing me from head to
toe. Yeah, exactly. Like, I always thought he was judging me, but he was the nicest guy you'll ever meet.
Oh, yeah.
But he got really into cycling, and I'm like, well, who could sit there and ride a bike for, you know, 20 days?
You get hemorrhoids, dude.
Yeah. Like, it's a weird thing. They got to wear the little outfits and the little helmets, and they got the little skinny tires. I like a nice 10-speed where I got a nice baseball underneath me.
I like monster truck tires.
I like a trike, to be honest with you. I don't got the athleticism I had. But so it's like, you know, anybody that really commits themselves to riding a bike, to me, it always seems, in my opinion, maybe
they already have mental problems.
Already kind of a weird dude, is what I'm saying. It's not enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, whatever. So they're into it. So we all bought into the Lance Armstrong thing. But what amazes me about the Lance Armstrong story, and we don't have to recap what happened, other than the fact that Oprah's trying to save her network with this interview because they recorded on Monday, all the things leaked out, and she's still giving these little teasers like, you're going to be shocked by what he says.
Surprise everyone in the studio.
It was a riveting thing. You know, we don't need to watch it. We know what happened. And we're going to get the clips from it, Oprah. But
I think people are still going to tune in droves, though.
What channel is the OWN network on your cable provider?
69, dude.
Nobody knows. I don't know if I get it. So I'm going to DVR it. You know, like, I'm sure people who watch it will watch, but I don't think there's going to be this huge joke, like, I need to DVR this. You're going to get everything you need to know from, you know, your different little, wherever you go to get your site. But what amazes me is how many people, both, like, reporters, athletes, celebrities, are sticking by Lance Armstrong. Like, the good that he did counteracts the fact that his entire life is a fraud. And it's amazing to me. Like, now, I don't know, you know, what causes cancer, but doesn't steroids cause cancer? Isn't that like something like one of the...
It doesn't help.
So it's like this guy based his whole life on all this, right?
Actually, yeah, you do take steroids to
recover.
You can take steroids.
Oh, so it helps you. So I don't know.
I'm no doctor. I'm only the son of a doctor, but... there are certain steroids, like my
I know you have poison ivy real bad, they give you the steroids.
Yeah, my uncle, unfortunately, has throat cancer, and it's now spreading to his lungs, and now lung cancer. And you do become weak from the chemo.
Yeah.
And so from the chemo, they will give you steroids.
But I mean, like...
But once you've recovered...
But I'm saying, like, a guy at the gym that just takes steroids, isn't it one of the risks? Like, you have liver failure, I know that's a problem.
You get shrunken balls.
Shrunken balls, that's going to kill you. But, like...
They get brittle bones.
But I thought that, like... Didn't Lala Zedo took steroids? Didn't guy have brain cancer, and they thought that the steroids had a thing to do with the brain cancer?
Yeah,
I don't know. It could be.
I mean, that's the thing about. I think it's the fine line. You know, I mean, it's a, kind of a, you know, double.
It's a very complicated case. I'm going to say it two more times, pretty much.
But no, I do think that certain steroids in certain doses are given to cancer patients to get their weak. You know, they have to just go through the chemo and whatnot. But still, he did say, I think one of the statements or quotes that he had was, you know, for me to go out there after I've already conquered cancer and to put that into my body is a pretty big risk.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah,
after
saying,
he
like,
beats the cancer.
Yeah.
That's
one of the reasons why he said he would never do it. And my thing is,
that was his quote.
Yeah.
It would be like, it would be insane
for me to do that.
To do that.
You don't want to tell little kids,
right,
you know, who have cancer, like, you don't want to give that message to them. And he's saying that, all these things. Not only did he sue people for defamation of character and win, you know, not only did he base his whole life on it.
A lot of money is tied up in those lawsuits, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. But my thing is this, this ancillary benefit that the society got, the fact that, you know, all this money was raised for cancer, it wasn't raised for cancer research. I'm not saying it didn't do any good, the cancer awareness. There were, like, hotlines people could call, and it was, like, ad campaigns were strong. But it wasn't like he helped cure cancer or did anything. All that money, the hundreds of millions of dollars they raised was the cancer awareness, which is kind of like a soft little thing.
Those stupid bracelets.
So the bracelets.
Which I never wore.
Oh, I never bought one of those things.
I'll make an admission right here. I'll make a confession. It's not exactly a Rob Parker type of statement that'll get me fired, hopefully. But I wrote on a rubber band, die weak.
You're fired.
I was mocking the fact that this bracelet is supposed to be make you like,
yeah.
Someone's going to come up and be like, hey, what's a bracelet? It's like,
yeah.
It's for cancer awareness, blah, blah. I could never.
I hate phony things. I hate things like.
This
like,
use on his phony tip.
100%. It's the same thing with the people that have these, like, now, you brought this phrase, I'm sorry, am I using it wrong, like, memes on Facebook?
Yeah.
That are, is that my thing? Or, like, things on, when you see, like, on Facebook that are, like, you know, supposed to, like, I'm doing my part because I repost this thing.
Right.
It doesn't do anything.
It doesn't
go
do
out
anything.
And volunteer at a cancer hospital.
Give money.
Yeah. Don't wear a bracelet. Go and spend time. We all
that freaking dollar you spent on a stupid bracelet could have gone to. I mean, I guess part of it went to something. But
what I'm saying is this: it's not like he funded a cancer hospital. It's not like there's a wing of Mount Sinai Hospital, like Lance Armstrong Cancer Research Center. So that is one thing. But to me, more importantly, is he made so much money not for riding his bike. Because if he was just some guy, I think, that won seven, it was because he was a survivor of cancer, he was a cancer survivor, and then he went out and did all
champion,
these things.
And he championed
he made
cancer.
For, you know, whatever, to tell you how much money this guy had. So they raised $400 million. He offered, the United States Postal Service is going to sue him. because they sponsored him. $30 million sponsor to sponsor his team. So they're going to take him to court. He offered them a $5 million cash settlement. So he's got that kind of money.
Yeah.
He didn't get that from riding a bike.
Yeah.
He got that from being, I'm the cancer survivor guy, come give money to me. So that means all his money, all those bracelets, you know, whatever, 70% of it was going to cancer research, 30% of it was going to Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
He got that kind of money, and they said no. So he's got so much money.
Yeah.
And it's only because he built himself up like this. This guy makes me way more mad than Barry Bonds. And the comparison to him and Barry Bonds is a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Barry Bonds didn't make his career being like a humanitarian.
Yeah.
He's a guy that hit home runs.
He crushed balls.
Everybody knew him did steroids. It was like a joke. He said, I never know him did steroids. He didn't make like his life, you know, he didn't make his living off of the fact that he was this big inspirational figure.
Right.
He actually didn't want to be inspirational. He didn't like give interviews or anything.
Yeah.
So that comparison is a joke. It's a stupid comparison that people keep making.
And what? And the other argument that apologists and defenders of Lance Armstrong are making is that, well, everyone was doing it. Yeah, but everyone didn't, like you said, everyone didn't profit from it like he did.
Exactly.
And then not only profit from it, but continue knowing that you're doing this, lie to people's faces. Okay, that's one thing.
Big celebrity.
Oh, pull Raffy Palmeiro. I never, 100%, never did. Okay, you pull the Raffy. We all do that, I guess. But then it goes a step further, and then file lawsuits.
Yeah, exactly.
Win.
Yeah.
Get that money.
Get that money.
Continue to make
that money's overseas.
Continue to deny. Continue to sue.
Yeah.
And
make,
like,
just undermine people. And then on top of all of it. So all of the things we just
you
said.
You broke up with Sheryl Crow.
How
dare you? She's a saint.
You say a bad word about Sheryl Crow, I will fire you.
You'll go straight to hell.
She's an angel. But on top of all of that, now he says he's willing to implicate other people. So after all of that, I'll be a rat. Are you kidding me? There is not... And it's almost like vindicating to me because I knew something was off of this. This guy, something about him, he should give back the money he got paid for being in Dodgeball, which is a great movie.
It's a great movie. And
he's
a great game, too, and now it's now Marvel.
They've got to take it out. If I watch it on HBO, they're going to
edit
it out. Now somebody else in there. Manti
Te'o.
Better actor. Clearly, this guy's a great actor.
Listen, Pete, I used to have a fake girlfriend.
I played the Magic Kingdom game, and everybody saw I couldn't tackle, and I had a fake girlfriend. God, it's like, I'm just amazed. And I almost think it's in the sports, broadcasters, writers, and all that, I think it's 50-50 people supporting him and not supporting him. It's amazing how many people. But then Barry Bonds is the devil. And he never even made a dime off of being like Mr. Hell. It wasn't like he was on the cover of Men's Health magazine every month. Selling, you know, making side money off the fact that he was Mr. Hell. I would get that. You know what I mean? Like, I would be more mad at Barry Bonds if it was like he had a whole energy drink line and it was like, Barry Bonds, drink what I drink, and he looked like me.
There might, I feel like I have a hazy memory from everything that's in my brain right now, but I really do feel like.
It's really whirlwind of the day. And we had something that in the gun control.
Right. We got to solve all gun control by 9:30. Oh boy, time is ticking.
I got the silver bullet.
There was definitely one article on like men's fitness.
Well, so there's articles about
transformation.
But
like,
I don't think he was making
now.
Money off it.
Yeah.
It was just, you know what I mean? It's not like he made his fortune off it.
Yeah.
It's not like he made the George Foreman grill.
Yeah.
If George Foreman was like, I never ate that chicken off my grill, then you'd be like, you know.
I think George Foreman actually drinks the grease that pours into the receptacle.
You say you get to send it, you mail that P.O. box. Right.
Drink it.
And you drink it, and you feed his 8 kids named George Foreman.
But, you know, the guy is just he's just a bad dude.
That's a really bad guy. See, to me, like, Manti Te'o is crazy.
He's just.
There's no way. That's not like, that is insane.
Yeah.
Which is a mental, he's got mental problems.
Yeah.
Lance Armstrong is just a bad dude.
Yeah.
And at some point, he was like, you know what? The work of my whole life is riding a bike, and nobody pays attention to me, and drivers don't give me the right of way.
But so people are
there's bike lanes in different cities.
People are defending him. People are defending him, saying, well, he never pretended to be a good dude.
That's the only thing he did.
And like, yeah.
He wasn't a bad boy of racing.
Yeah, he kind of did. He wasn't, he wasn't like a.
He wasn't popping wheelies down.
He was like Tony Stewart.
There was a guy in his pegs in the back, like smoking weed.
Yeah.
No. That was his whole thing.
Yeah.
The only thing we cared about.
Yeah.
Name any other sort of pinstripe. ever in the world. Like, you don't know them. Lance Armstrong, I hope that they take every penny, because every penny he made.
Well, people are calling for jail time now. For a long time. They want him to, like, spend the rest of his time in jail. And it's like,
it's not on earth. I don't know what law he broke, though.
Yeah. I mean,
he didn't lie in front of Congress.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
He didn't lie in front of Congress.
Yeah.
The reason that the government did was go after
him. He's lying to everyone else.
Yeah, lying isn't a crime.
Yeah, I guess not.
But it's not a crime unless you lie under oath. You know what I mean? So
I think that Manti Te'o saw Lance Armstrong, the story come out, and was like, I can do this too.
The story just came out. He started perpetrating this thing in like 2010 when he got recruited in Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to stay a senior my senior year.
Love you,
only. He stayed a senior year only to do this.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You know what else happened this weekend? The NFL playoffs. So, Brett, it's a really good weekend of NFL playoffs. Yeah, I don't remember anything else. I don't remember anything before Monday and before the admission of Lance Armstrong. It was an extremely good weekend. And I saw people tweeting. We were getting retweeted by, like, you know, writers and saying that this has been a boring playoff. This has been a great playoff.
Yeah.
And this weekend, I mean, you had two classic games.
Yeah.
Classic. I mean.
And I missed both of them.
Well, yeah. You had to see about a girl.
I went to a birthday party.
Oh, well, that's nice, though,
in
Neil.
New York City, where we went to a restaurant where there were no TVs, and then we went to a club where there were no TVs.
Sounds lovely.
And it was amazing.
I will tell you this.
I missed one of the best playoff games, I mean, in recent memory. Can you remember a better one than this one?
Well, the two this weekend. I mean, to me,
Baltimore-Denver, I caught Atlanta.
Yeah, I think I was going to ask you which one you thought was better. I think the Baltimore-Denver game is better, but the more amazing story, I think, was the Sunday game because of, you know, that was 20-0, and they were just dominating the game, and it was like, okay, this is when Seattle's little Cinderella story ends.
But I had no – it was weird. It was weird because I had no doubt in my mind that they would come back. I was not worried. I was not worried. And if you remember, at halftime, Terry Bradshaw comes on, and you're like, oh, great, Terry Bradshaw's back. I can immediately shut off my ears.
That's when I go change the diaper and all that, yeah.
He goes, if you remember, they were down
14-0
to the Redskins, and they came back.
24 unanswered, yeah.
Right. So I was like, you know what, Terry? Wow. You must have had a moment of clarity right there.
Yeah.
In between all the fog.
Even a blind squirrel catches his way around.
Yeah.
Business. So, let's talk about the Denver game first, because the blame game is obviously being thrown around. And JT and I talked about it last week a little bit about, like, it's part of our society. Everybody, who is to blame? Who's to blame for this? Who's to blame for that? And that's part of just America. And I don't think you could blame one person, although I think the biggest problem is on defense because it comes down to that one play.
Yeah.
But you also can't take the blame out of Peyton Manning. But the people that want to blame Peyton Manning call him a choke artist. He drove the ball down the field, doing 88 yards, went up a touchdown. He handed the ball over to his defense. He was a minute to go with no timeouts on the 20-yard line. And it's like, if you look at his game, he's a 3 touchdowns. High completion percentage before 3 yards.
The one pick was not his fault. The pick 6.
Yeah, right.
I don't think that was his fault. I mean, people were saying that was a bad throw. It was on his shoulder. It was his back shoulder. You want to beat him, but it was still. And it was pass interference in the play.
Yeah.
Dude was pulling his arm down.
The game had ended. Here's why I don't think it's
that bad. Last pick was
horrible. But what I'm saying is this. Had the defense held up, And done, it was just a ridiculous, like, one in a million chance that Hail Mary was going to get behind the safety, right? If that had not happened, Monday morning, or, you know, they would have been, Sunday morning, they would have been praising how great he played. 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, did all these things in the cold, proved all of his doubters he could win in the cold, all these things. And because his defense faltered, then it was all like, you know, it all comes down to that pick, and it was a terrible pick, but it was like,
Eli
he
should have pick.
He was. Shouldn't have been. I'm gonna bring up Eli in a minute, but
I'm hoping you do.
And I think you're gonna respect my opinion on that. But so I do. So the whole thing that happened with them, it's like it is a shame because his story throughout this year has been amazing. This guy, you know, had neck surgery, was out the whole season, came out and probably won the MVP. Even though I think AP should have won, I still think Peyton's gonna wind up getting it. What he did with that team was just amazing. And then, you know, it's all it's going to be judged on. They're going to forget about his regular season. They say, same old team. Can't get it done in the playoffs.
Yeah.
When he really did get it done in the playoffs, he gave him the kicking. There you go. I do 3 touchdowns. I do 1 pick. Like you said, it was a
finishing,
weird.
Though. It's finishing, and that's the thing. He doesn't finish. He doesn't have. And, you know, you might think I'm joking about Eli, but Eli, when he gets into those pressure situations in the playoffs, has come through.
Amazing.
Repeatedly. So I'm not trying to like take it and say Eli's better than Peyton, but when it comes to the playoff time, when it comes to crunch time, in the playoffs, I think Eli is a better performer.
Here's where I'm gonna agree with you. I think that Eli Manning were able to be the closer, come into the game in overtime, he doesn't throw that pick, and they go down at least 6 field goal. I genuinely believe that. And the reason I was make a point about Eli, I came to the realization I was wrong about 2 quarterbacks in this playoffs, and we're going to get to the second one in a minute, but I was completely wrong about Joe Flacco. And I'm starting to I'm like, Joe Flacco stinks. Everybody talks about Joe Flacco. He does all these things in the playoffs. I know he wins every year. He's been in the playoffs every year, but he stinks. He is the younger version of Eli Manning because he, in the playoffs, steps up. Look at how many wins he has. He's back-to-back AFC Championship games. He's won a game in the playoffs every season of his career. It's amazing. And Joe Flacco steps up his game. He looks awful at times, but in the clutch, and I just realized this. I'm like, you know what? Joe Flacco is much better than I give him credit for that exact reason. Same thing, I like to crap on, like I say shit, man. Shit on Peyton Manning, Eli Manning all the time, but in a clutch spot, he is as good as anybody in the league. Although, for the first 3 quarters, he looks like an average quarterback.
Yeah.
Same thing with Joe Flacco. There are times you look at Joe Flacco and you're like, oh, we're throwing this guy and, you know, got happy feet here and he holds the ball too long here and this and that. But look at what they needed him to do. He delivered that pass he threw for the touchdown was such an Eli Manning moment.
Mm.
Because
Eli would never have made that throw because I don't think he has the – I don't think he throws that far.
Well,
that
no.
That was key.
But what I'm saying is, like, Griffin, he got behind the safety. But that was an amazing pass to make. It reminded me immediately of the throw that Eli made last year to Manningham, where it was like, you know, in the heat of all of this thing going on, when you need to make a perfect pass, because he still, you know, it wasn't like this guy was streaking wide open down the field.
Yeah.
He could drop it over at safety. The safety made a horrible read, even when the ball was in play.
Yeah.
Even when the ball, he got beat, but even the ball was in play, he could have gone and made a play.
Yeah.
He started backpedaling way too early.
Even
dropped it in on a dime from 65 yards.
Yeah.
That's an Eli Manning type pass.
Yeah. But so the major criticism on Peyton was that there's all this – see, there's like a ton of speculation because it's like 2 of their touchdowns came from special teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so okay. So now there's all this speculation. What if you take those 2 away? What if he gets tackled on 20? What if he gets tackled here? What if he gets tackled there? What if one of them comes back? Does Peyton still lead them to touchdowns? Does he still lead them to field goals?
He has 3 touchdown passes. How many touchdown passes does he have to justify himself?
Right.
He's got 3 touchdowns. I've heard that argument from a lot of people. And he got still through 3 touchdown passes. Completed 65% of his passes. Like, he was doing well. You know what I mean? Like, he did clearly in a wind chill below, you know, 0. But, like I'm saying about, you know, Flacco, it's like this guy had all those elements too and was able to do it, you know, in the pressure. He was a guy that everybody says could only win at home. His road stats are bad. I think that I'll admit I was wrong, and I was a guy who's been really down on Flacco. I didn't even think he was a top 10 quarterback in the league. Thought he was a guy with a big arm who could make plays, but really wasn't a guy you can count on. And, you know, I'm a big Romo guy. I'm like, I'll take Romo over Flacco in a heartbeat. Now it's that game. And then what that game did is it made me look at the rest of his career in the playoffs and in the clutch, and you say, I mean, look at the guy. 3 touchdowns, no picks, 300 yards, you know? You look at Peyton, you know, he had a good game, but you're exactly right. They needed him to go. And I think that, as bad as it is to say, it's almost like he started to think in his head, the game is over, when he handed the ball over with 1 minute left, and they needed a touchdown. And then it was like, because it's got to get into his head. He knows about his legacy as much as all of us. So it's got to get into his head that I'm the guy who can't win the playoffs or in the cold, this and that. And it's like, I did my job. And now the defense blew it. Now it's like, you know, because that pass was atrocious.
Well, and that's why, and that's what the argument was for Fox not attacking and being aggressive when they got the ball back after the touchdown.
I was surprised to hear how many, because he former coaches said they agreed with that call.
And
I was shocked by it,
and
watching
it. I was too, and like, but it does, now that I hear it, it makes sense. It's like your whole team is just stunned, like out of their mind stunned that that happened. There were probably only a handful of guys who were like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
So, and that's just your coach knowing your squad, knowing your players, knowing their mentality, knowing that this is ridiculous, what just happened. I don't know that I can go out there and start, you know, who knows what happens.
Yeah, it clearly it was, you know what, kicked overtime, regroup.
Right.
We're the better team. We're going to win. We're at home.
Right.
We're the better team.
Yeah.
I agree. I was just, in the heat of the moment, I was shocked. Because then we're going
to. So that goes back to Peyton then. That goes back to Peyton, and that says something about his character and his leadership, in my mind.
Yeah.
That is the, next to the coach, the quarterback is the field general. He's
Well, they say that he's the one that decides to run the ball on 3rd and 7, get the ball back. They said that that was Peyton Manning's decision.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You have to.
And that was a, you know, so when you talk about blame, clearly, though, you can't. You can't just discount the fact that the defense gave up, you know, 8 yards in a minute to go down.
Yeah.
So, to me, that is the biggest culprit.
Right.
Like, you always put blame. Any loss, it's hard, especially in football, it's hard to say, like, there's one person that cost them the game. But I think that if you were to rank them, I would say the defense failing on that drive was the biggest loss. But then Peyton's number two, more than Fox, I think.
Yeah, because I think Fox, because Peyton is basically a coach. I mean, let's get serious. Peyton's
the offensive coordinator.
He's the offensive coordinator. He makes a lot of calls of the line, probably all the calls of the line. And so for him to basically back it up and say, you know what, no thanks. I mean, that has some carryover. I feel like that has some carryover into the overtime frame.
Well, you know what it reminded me of? Jets-Steelers game when Ben Roethlisberger, they were like, Jets are going to get the ball back. This is the AFC Championship game. You know, and now it's 3 years ago. Oh, they need the ball back. They need the ball back. They allowed Ben Roethlisberger, I'm sure he could have called out of that play and ran the ball.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger is a gunslinger. He's the guy that's like, give me the ball. And he made the play and broke every Jets fan heart making that play and not even giving, you know, the Jets offense a chance.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. They could have ended that game. Could have ended it. And he wouldn't have had to turn it over. You know? But I think that Peyton at that point is like, I've done enough. I've done enough. I've got us in position. And that's it. And I don't know that that's the kind of mentality you want. But I also don't think that's enough. To say that Peyton Manning is the reason they lost that game. The guy had a very good game, and regulation game, you know?
Yeah.
All right, quickly we'll go over the other two games. I mean, I don't think there's really much to go over with the Patriots game.
I had no doubt in my mind that they would win that. I mean, like, even when Gronk went down, it was like.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I have no question.
We talked about that last week. I think that everybody was kind of in agreement, although. I think Tony didn't think that the pass would cover, and I think JT was the same way, didn't think they would cover. I was like, the Patriots are going to cover that game.
What was weird about the game, though, is that there was still a lot of concern and worry about the Texans coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of thought, like, oh, wait, they'll make a run, but I don't think they were going to actually contest and threaten.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people that were still worried about it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they made a lot of people watch, you know, the whole game. But... You know, that being said, of the games, I think that was the least entertaining game.
Yeah.
You know, even though the other game was also a wide margin win, the San Francisco-Green Bay game, obviously it's such a historic match. The two teams have just a, you know, storied rivalry and all that. But even though the Niners have dominated that matchup in the playoffs, but you look at what happened with Colin Kaepernick, and that's what I was going to say. I was wrong on two quarterbacks. I was wrong on the Kaepernick thing. As big as I've been wrong on anything since we've been having the show, because I really thought that Harbaugh made a mistake, and we talked about it 2 weeks ago. Remember you said, you know, you didn't think that you think it gives you a better chance to really win big games. And I said, well, look at what he's done on the regular season. I mean, his numbers aren't as good as Alex Smith. His record wasn't better than Alex Smith this season. It's not like, you know.
He's that dual threat. He's a dual threat that
I thought he was
You saw it on Saturday night. I mean, the fact that he can – Al Smith would have ran, and would have ran out of bounds after like 5 or 7 yards. This guy's taking it like 50 yards.
I ran for 190, 80 yards.
181 yards. Yeah, it was a playoff record. Beat out Michael Vick. I mean, you can't – and the thing that is crazy about Kaepernick and that you're seeing with RG3 and with Russell Wilson is that the option is now coming back into play. And remember, back in the day, NFL used to laugh at the option.
Oh, yeah.
You can't
never work. Would never work. If you got
the team in the league running now. Yeah, and the reason is because these quarterbacks also have arms.
Yeah.
So you can't just
and it's always the read option, which I think is the way to go.
Yeah.
No, they don't run the straight option.
Right.
No, it's the read option where you've got the ability to hand the ball off, and that's the move. But you see it now, and I had thought about it. You look at the quick evolution of the league. When you look at the playoffs, you know, 12 teams make the playoffs, and half of those quarterbacks were mobile quarterbacks, and I consider Aaron Rodgers a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
You look at them, and the three of them run like a legit option.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That you would have done hurt 3 years ago. You look at a Madden game 3 years ago, you didn't have the option to run the option. You couldn't be like, I'm going to run the option right now. Now, it's like a legitimate option.
And that's why, and this is a little off topic, but I'll just mention it real quick.
Gun control.
Gun control. You got to stop calling it the shotgun, the pistol, okay, people?
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
That's what's going on.
No. So, Chip Kelly going to the Eagles.
Yeah.
I know you want to cover this later, but I figured I'd bring it up now because we're talking about it. Yeah, you just poured everything. Just
poured this for the next.
Yeah, why not?
you
take over Chip Kelly's talk right now. So, Chip Kelly to the Eagles after he said he was going to return to Oregon after Phil Knight made a plea and basically going to throw his Nike franchise at Chip Kelly, decides that he's going to go to the Eagles. Now the talk around town is that Michael Vick is going to stay with the
I think he has to stay.
Yeah, he has to stay.
Yeah.
Because he's not running that with
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. I don't even know his freaking name.
Yeah.
So, you know, that means Vic's staying around, but I don't know that even with Vic in a high-tempo offense, a quick-paced offense, even with that option, he still has concussion issues, he still has rib issues, he still has injury issues, so I don't know that they're going to be any better because they're running the option now. You know what I'm saying? I think that you still need a guy who's young like Wilson or Kaepernick. Like, I think they're going to come in expecting Vic to have the same success rate.
Here's my new bold type prediction. So they're going to need – you're going to have Vic. He's going to have to stay. You know who's going to be his backup next year? It's going to be
Mark Sanchez.
Vince Young. Vince Young. They're going to need a guy where it's like a seamless transition from one to the other. They can't – if you're going to run that style offense, unless he's going to come and really, like, convert what he does, which I don't think he's going to do, you're going to need somebody – and one other guy – the only other guy I could think of that's going to be available that they could add, and I really think he's kind of underappreciated for what he does with his legs, is, like, Matt Moore as a backup. Because Matt Moore could run really well, and he could thrive in that type of offense. But you're going to need a legitimate backup because Michael Vick's not going to play 16 games for you.
Right.
So I think you're going to see one of those two guys go to Philadelphia. Whether that is going to succeed, look, we talked about it a little bit last week. We made the announcement that both Kellys were staying. That was one of our 5 and 10.
Yeah.
They're both staying because he had said he was staying. But, you know, I'm just shocked he did it. I don't think it's going to work. I think he's going to be the Steve Spurrier or the Nick Saban, the kind of guy who can't convert over, and he's going to be back, and he's going to be a hot commodity in the college football market in a few years. Because I don't think it's going to, you know, I know there is a contingency of Eagles fans that are excited about it, but I think a majority of Eagles fans aren't that excited about it.
Yeah.
Since I get from looking at Twitter, looking at different things, they're not super excited about the idea of bringing this guy in. It was like the sexy hire that normally a good organization like the Eagles doesn't make.
Yeah. I don't want to make any predictions because I thought the Eagles would go 13-3 this year.
Yeah.
Based on their finish from the previous year, their strong finish. I think there are more issues than just the offense with the Philadelphia Eagles. The defense was atrocious down the stretch.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of money tied up in guys that you thought were going to come in and be shut down.
Zombies?
Yeah. Yeah, that's got their – they prefer toast.
Apparently. Yeah.
So, I still think they're going to be a better team. I think they're going to battle and they're going to be tough. I mean, that division –
That's the problem. He went into a situation in Philadelphia that was going to be tough for him. Although he probably likes the fact he's got Vic in his mind. He said, I got Vic, I can make guys unbelievable. And I got DeSean Jackson, and I got Shady McCoy, who's going to thrive. And Shady McCoy's going to be a valuable asset in fantasy next year, I think. But you're going to get all that. But you go into the division. We talked at length over the last 10 weeks about what the Redskins are doing going forward. You got the Giants, who are going to be a contender again next year. And then you've got, you know, you have the Cowboys with, you know, Garrett's last stand and possibly Romo's last stand.
Monty Kiffin coming in.
100-year-old Monty Kiffin coming in. So it's like, you know, and don't forget, you know, they lost that linebacker Lee this year, so they did lose some guys. That division is going to be tough. It's like, you know, it's a tough spot for Chip Kelly, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be that good. I don't think come week 14 we're going to be talking about the Eagles being in the playoff hunt next year. I really don't.
I mean, anything's possible, I think. I mean, it really is.
You know, I want to bring you to this point. At this point, we're basically in the conceit. We're going to give you some bonus time. For those of you listening live, after the show, you can go to our website. You're going to be able to hear the whole show. We're going to probably go over a little bit here. We'll be cut off at the 90-minute mark live. But what's amazing about the NFL, you said, like, you never know in the NFL, you know. But you look at this year, look at the AFC, 5 of the 6 teams that made the playoffs last year made it again. 3 of the 4 teams in the championship games this year are the same teams last year. So it's really, you know, they talk about the NFL as being this crazy parody league and all this. You have the same teams doing well as you had last year. And, you know, we're looking at the same games as last year. So you have that, obviously, the Patriots, and we're going to get to our predictions in a minute, but Patriots-Baltimore games going to be the same game as last year. So they both are playing for something, like literally, like fresh in their mind. And then you have the nasty taste that San Francisco has in their mouth from losing the game the way they lost it last year. So it's not like, you know, you say anything can happen and you have stories every year like the Redskins and the Colts, but typically it's the same organizations that are getting it done.
Yeah.
And Philly, really, I think you're in store, I really think, for like 3 or 4 years of Philly. And I like Philly, of being down, the bottom of the barrel of the NFC. I think they are going to be the doormat of the NFC for the next 4 years.
Wow. I mean, how much leash do you give Chip Kelly, though?
2 years, he's gone.
Exactly. 2 years?
2 years, he's gone. He's out. He's going to be...
You're talking about firing Shiano already in Tampa Bay.
And Tampa Bay was competitive through 12 weeks.
They're in the playoff hunt.
Yeah. So I think Chip Kelly gets 2 years of not making the playoffs. He's back, jumping ship back to college football ranks, and they're going to love him. He'll do well back in the college. It's a completely different thing. There's not a lot of stories where you see guys jumping ship and doing well. I mean, you had the Jimmy Johnsons, but he also had crazy amount of talent when Jimmy Johnson came over.
Yeah.
So, you have Harbaugh, who did it in San Francisco, different type of coach to me. He's not a big, innovative, like, you know, flashcard guy in the sideline. I think it's a different type of thing.
Yeah.
But let's get to this week's games, because they're both super interesting matchups. You know, you have the – we'll start with the rematch in the AFC. You have the – Baltimore Ravens, who beginning of the season everybody loved. They did very well early on. They had this big swoon in the middle of the season, fired their offensive coordinator. You don't normally see a team fire a coordinator in the middle of the season, go out and win a Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl, let alone win one. So to get to the AFC Championship game is a feat in and of itself with what they did. But they still got so much talent. They also have the fact that they think they should have been playing the Super Bowl last year, and you have the whole Ray Lewis factor. So a lot of people are all about New England this week, but that's an interesting game. What's your take on that game this week? Both games are interesting, but I'm an AFC guy, so I'm more focused on AFC.
I mean, I honestly think this is redemption time for Baltimore. And it's weird because when you look at historically NFL teams like the Ravens and the Texans, what they did last year, and I mentioned this in a blog post, historically, they have almost zero success in that if you lose the majority of your games, December games heading down the stretch, the odds of you going anywhere after that are slim to none.
Yeah.
You usually don't get past one victory. The only team that did were the New Orleans Saints, and that was because they pretty much had it locked up.
Yeah.
So for them to come this far, it's a renewed sense of confidence. And the fact that you add on top of that layer Ray Lewis in his last season and the ultimate motivator, I mean, the guy can make, you know, the crippled walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think
everything. He could make Nathan Hale get a girlfriend. He really could.
Everything is in their favor. I don't see, and I know it's a, I mean,
10-point spread.
So take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Although I do think, if you're a betting guy,
the defense, Patriots D,
the running defense
significantly better.
Their run D is very, very good. It's the top 10 run defense.
Like the addition of, and people kind of didn't really pay much attention to the acquisition they made, the trade they made with Tampa Bay, but Talib has been pretty.
Yeah,
huge.
They got him for like a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, they got him for almost nothing.
He was a first-round pick.
And, yeah, and he's been tremendous for them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been able to shore up some holes. And, but I still feel like, you know, it's just – I know it's Brady's home turf and he's unstoppable there, but it just seems to me like Torrey Smith is a different player than he was last year. In 1 year's time, I think he's a guy that
– He was raw, though, coming out of college.
He was
very
raw. But he's the kind of guy.
The catch he made, that touchdown catch that he made,
yeah,
was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was a Randy Moss, T.O. type catch that he made down the sideline last week. And I'm surprised at your pick because I thought I was going to be bold by saying I think Baltimore's going to win. And I thought I was going to take a lot of guff for saying I'm just an anti New England guy. But I agree with you on a lot of what you're saying. And I think that you have the Ray Lewis factor. I'm going to harp on it again. You have the Joe Flacco factor that he has got something to prove. He gets no respect for the fact that he's won a playoff game every year, gone to the playoffs every year. He's gone to the AFC Championship game back-to-back years. He should have been in the Super Bowl last year. He did everything he could have done, you know what I mean? I think that there's a lot to that. And I think that Harbaugh is a very good coach. I think that the Patriots have been obviously very good, and people always want to look to their defense as being like a weakness and all that. I think that the Gronk injury is going to hurt him.
Yeah.
More than, I know that they say, well, look, it didn't hurt him at all. Look, they didn't skip a beat when he went out last week. He went out early, you know, first quarter. So they didn't skip a beat. But that 10-point spread, here's the thing. If you're a betting guy, I think that if you like the Patriots to win the game, take them. Because if they win, they're going to win big.
Yeah.
If you like the points you're getting from Baltimore, take the money line. +320. Take it, because they're going to win. I think that if it comes down to a dogfight type game, I think Baltimore wins that game.
Okay.
I really think that's how it is. So I think it's going to go one way or the other. I think it's going to be – I don't think the point spread, the 10 points are going to come into play. That's my, you know, semi-bold prediction. I think it's going to either be, you know, New England wins and they run away with it.
Yeah.
And they get up and that's it. Or Baltimore wins that game. And I am taking Baltimore to win that game. And I'm taking them in my pool that we do with you, where it's just straight picking a team. I'm picking them because I think that – They're gonna win that game. I think that you have all those factors coming into play. They're, you know, I know that they're a great home team and haven't been great on the road. It's not like weather's gonna affect them. They're not, you know, they're not a team that's made to play on turf or made to play in the warm weather or something like that. That's not gonna affect them. And I just really have a feeling that Baltimore is gonna go on a run. They win that game last week and they're gonna go on a run. And that's why, you know, and I think they're gonna be cruising next week, this weekend. I really do think so.
I mean, the only issue that I see with them is that they have just a major letdown after such an emotional victory. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that last week took a little too much out of them, and they got into this mindset that, like, you know, it's destiny, and, you know, as a locker room, you know, as fans, we can say that all we want, like, it's destiny, momentum, all that, but in the locker room, that's someone like Ray Lewis coming up and be like, nothing has been accomplished, that was a great win, but, like, we have to get after. And the whole key to beating the Patriots, and the Giants did this, is disrupt the rhythm.
Yeah.
Upset the rhythm. Get your hands up if you're a defensive lineman. Stuff the passing lanes. Contain and box in Brady. And make sure you get your hands on guys like Welker right off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing that it's not the same as last year, and I know I'm stating the obvious, but Brandon Lloyd could be a huge pivotal player in this game because he was not on the Patriots last year, and he's a guy that is elusive, that runs great routes, great hands, and
but he's
going to be a major concern for them.
But he's not been good, though, this year. Like, he's come on towards the end of the season, but he's been a quasi-bust, not to the extent of, obviously, like Ocho Cinco, but he's been a quasi-bust in there. I don't know if it's a question of not knowing the playbook and the complicated, you know, schemes that they run in offense, but it took him a while to get really going in that offense. So I agree with you. If he has a big game, then Baltimore's in huge trouble. But I could see him going away. I really can. It's interesting. You know, you got a guy like Ed Reed, who, you know, we had a talk, I think it was last week, or were you here when we talked about who's better, Ray Lewis or Ed Reed, as far as, like, is Ed Reed a better safety than Ray Lewis? No, Ed Reed.
Yeah, we talked about it, and I was all Ed Reed. I was pro
Ed Reed. And Ed Reed was not on that Super Bowl, so Ed Reed needs a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So you talk about Ray Lewis and all the motivation you have. You have Ed Reed in that locker room, who was not on that Super Bowl team. Came on in 2002, so you look at him and you want to say, is he going to be a second guy saying, you know, this is it? Is he going to step up and make a big-time play, secondary and all that? I'm telling you, I feel pretty good about Baltimore this week, and I have a lot of reasons to root for them. Aside from betting or predicting or anything, obviously I hate the Patriots more than any team in all sports, and we went to school in Baltimore, so I have a lot of friends that are Baltimore fans. Kind of, we were there when they won their Super Bowl, so it was like, you know, you kind of like them a little bit. So
I didn't like them. I was going to beat the Giants.
Well, you didn't like them.
Well, I was the only one running around the frat house, like, wilding out.
Well,
after Ron Dixon's kickoff return.
There's a lot of Giants fans in my frat house. So let's get to the other game. We've got 4 minutes left while we're still live. So let's get to the other game, and then we'll do the 5 and 10 as some bonus time. But the other game, you talked about letdown. I think, so you have both teams that have an excuse for a letdown. You obviously have the crazy win that Atlanta was able to pull off.
Falcons have no reason to win this game. They have no. There is no, absolutely no way they win this game. I know I sound like a Falcon hater.
They're
going to
win.
I love the Falcons when Deion Sanders was on the Falcons. They were one of my favorite teams. Since then, though, they should not have won the game last week. Seattle.
Why do you think they should not have won the game? They made the plays and they had to make the plays.
That was okay.
Who's the blame for that loss?
Pete Carroll.
So I think
the blame for that loss because he called the timeout and tried to ice Matt Bryant.
Well, that clearly
was a stupid move. What happens? Matt Bryant.
But I blame the defensive coordinator for the when things like allowing them to go down the field in chunks the way they were able to with these timeouts. To me, you got to stay aggressive with them because you got the weapons that they have. You allow Matt Ryan with Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Tony Gonzalez. I know they blitzed, and Jacquizz Rodgers had a big blitz pickup on that play, the second play, but. To me, I agree with you. I used to kicker. I was watching the game with my father-in-law, and I said, they're going to ice the kicker here. It never worked. I don't know why they ever do it. Why anyone does it. Why would you let the kicker have the ability to do it twice? It's like, okay, I missed it. I just got to go, and he split it.
It's just dumb. It's just dumb, and that's the reason they lost that game. And then the fact
that I've had his defensive coordinator for his defensive calls in those two plays that allows him to get those chunks.
Yeah.
Then on the 30-yard line, 30 seconds left, now you got two timeouts. You're saying, you know what? Be aggressive here. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because if you allow them, you're going to give up yards.
And as soon as they had that weird onside kick,
I know,
the squib that just was not a squib, I was like, wow, Seattle's going to win this game.
Yeah, I could too.
And then they throw, like, a really weird short pass, the Golden Tate, I think it was, and you know, I was like, well, it's a 65-yarder. You just signed Ryan Longwell. I honestly think you have a better chance to field goal than you do the Hail Mary. I know they had some success on the Hail Mary.
A lot of people are going with it, yeah.
I just
give it a shot.
But so
in the dome.
You know, I had in our pool, I had Seattle going all the way. I had winning the whole thing. Which a lot of people were like, you were out of your mind. But, you know, they could have won that game. I think they have San Francisco's number. And whoever, they're going to be all right. So now that San Fran is going to Atlanta, I don't see that Atlanta has any kind of home field advantage. I don't think that they have Colin Kaepernick figured out. And, you know, it'll be a close game. But
5-point spread, which is for a home team to be getting 5 points, that means they think the count levels on a neutral field will be 8 points. The reason I'm taking Atlanta in that game is because you talk about letdowns. I think that people are now calling up saying, how could you ever stop Colin Kaepernick? Like, he's so good that now it's like there's no way anyone can stop him. I think the letdown comes with Colin Kaepernick. I think that he was so unbelievable.
He's going to get big head and he's just going to.
I think it's not going to be much about being a big head, but it's going to be like, he can't possibly duplicate what he just did. He can't possibly run for 180 yards and throw for all those yards.
You just guaranteed he's going to do that. He's going to break his own record.
I'm telling you right now, I like that. I like Atlanta a lot in that game. They need Matt Ryan to get that monkey off his back. The defense.
They'll get smoked in the Super Bowl if they win. I'm sorry for hating on Atlanta, but I just don't think they're a legit team. I know they, and I have zero reason to talk, but man, I just do not believe in them. And people are like starting to believe in them. I'm like, no thanks. You're not legit.
We're currently in bonus time. Right now. Currently in bonus time on Tri-State Sports Guys. So for those of you that download our blog, I don't even know how you get onto it, but a lot of you guys listen to it not live.
For the people who receive our letter in the mail.
Please, guys, for those of you listening on VHS, hey, we're in bonus time right now. But I think we should keep talking about this because I think that Atlanta, nobody gave them respect during the season. They were phony 11-1 when they were 11-1. They won all these close games. I think that those close games that they won makes them battle-tested. I think that they proved a lot, and it proved a lot to themselves. They could win these close games. I think that you saw their running game take a huge step forward because all season long, everybody was – questioning whether their running game was for real. Turn of the burner was just non-existent for a lot of the year, but he started to come out towards the end, and then last week he looked like a completely different back. You know, last year, you know, he ran for 300-whatever carries, and he looked old when he played against the Giants. Last week he looked tough, and then Jaquizz Rodgers, for a little guy, looks like a tough little runner. Like, not only is he obviously very elusive, he was running guys over. So you have the running game that wasn't there all season long for them in play. You have Tony Gonzalez, won his first playoff game. How insane is that he's never won a playoff game? Now, you can't ever – that has it's not like it's Peyton Manning's a quarterback. He's a tight end. I don't blame him for him never winning.
Yeah, I mean, no offense to Tony Gonzalez. He's a nice dude. He's a nice smile.
You see the ball he caught last week, like in the back end of the ball?
I don't think he has the rally.
Oh, you didn't watch that game. You were at a first birthday.
No, I saw that. I just didn't see Kaepernick work his magic. I don't think Tony Tegon has the same rally factor as, like, a Ray Lewis.
No, but I think he's –
I don't think people are rallying around Tony Gonzalez.
Not at all, but I think that he steps up the game. He made – at minimum three catches, probably closer to five catches last week that were, like, in traffic, amazing catches for an old guy like that. And he had one of the most productive seasons, if not the most productive season he had in his career. He was made – I don't think that he's a rallier of the troops. I don't think that's in his personality, but I think that he will make big plays for Atlanta. Then you obviously have Julio Jones. I don't know if they have anyone in their locker room that's really a rally of the troops.
Yeah.
But they got a lot of talent. The defense doesn't get any really recognition, but the defense is good. I think that, you know, John Abraham was hurt last week. He says that he's healthier this week. That's a big deal because having watched him as a Jet, you know, when he's got any kind of injury, he's the first guy to tap out. So if he's a little bit healthier, he'll be a bigger impact in the game. If he's able to play and be healthy, that's a big impact on that game. And I really think that, you know, the Colin Kaepernick factor of him being so unbelievable, and the idea that now, how do you possibly stop this guy? Well, he lost three games as a starter. You know, it's not like he was like a world beater.
He has off games. I mean,
he's got a big-time arm. He's got a big-time leg.
Yeah.
He's got a big, you know, all that. He's got all the tools. He started how many games in his career? 10?
Green Bay, but Green, you got to take into consideration Green Bay's defense kind of stinks.
Drop the concept. They stink.
Yeah, I mean.
And their defensive coordinators.
Yeah, what I don't understand is, you know, in seeing highlights from the game, that the lack of discipline from Green Bay's defense. These are professional athletes who have been preparing for this game for a long time. Like, this is your life.
Yeah.
And you look ridiculous in some plays. I don't think Atlanta's going to come out and look that bad, but at the same time, look at what Russell Wilson was able to do, and this is where the debate comes into play. Who would you rather have a quarterback? Who's better, Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick? I kind of side with Russell Wilson, even though Kaepernick is physically just more gifted.
Yeah, he's way more tattoos.
Way more tattoos. can't discount.
There's a decent chance, as an aside, we're not recording right now. This could all be just me and you talking. It says recording. I mean, I'm not a producer. It's not my thing. Our producer has the flu, so I don't know. I'm assuming we're recording. Who knows? It could be just me and you shooting the shit. I'm going to say shit 10 times today.
We're now officially rated R now. Said
that. I think I can use PG. I'm not using the F-bomb or the C-bomb. So you really like
it. I think Russell Wilson, just from a quarterback standpoint, leading drives, orchestrating drives, the ability to be elusive, to scramble.
A little like a young Neil Lynch?
Yeah, you could say that. I'm not saying you can't say that.
He reminds me of a young Neil Lynch on the football field.
But what's great about Wilson is that he can elude the rush, he doesn't seem panicked, and then make an accurate throw.
Yeah.
And that was so great about watching him. I'm falling in love with Russell Wilson. I'm pretty sure you know that.
You're gushing.
But there was one play where he scrambles, he loses one rusher, he loses another. He steps up and he finds Golden Tate coming back on a pattern, and it was just like that was how it was drawn up in the playbook. It just seemed like that's how they practiced it. So I don't think that.
I'm glad you didn't bring up the block because everybody talks about this block downfield. Did you see him?
Yeah, I mean,
I was the best blocker in my high school.
Yeah, I love throwing a block.
I'm crushed, dude.
I used to throw some illegal blocks. There would be like a handoff on a sweep, and I need to get the backside at the end. And like maybe like, you're gonna go low a little bit. I don't know. He's not backing up.
Can I take it aside since we're probably not recording?
Yeah.
My first time ever on a football field in an organized game. I never played top one or anything. I didn't play freshman football. Sophomore football, I go out there, it was our first scrimmage, and, you know, the varsity does their thing. The JV gets played as JV team. And my first play was a dive, and you're supposed to carry out the option. You know, we ran the option.
Yeah.
But carry out the option. And I'm literally, as a sophomore, 5'7", 135. Little bit of a thing.
Good numbers.
And I hand the ball off. I saw his defensive end. I was so excited. I had all this, like, I have my pads. I'm all excited. You know, I'm a little 15-year-old dude. And I ran up this D end, and he was not expecting, you know, he used to fight, and I just drilled the D. That was me carrying out the option. I remember seeing the varsity team on the sideline. So I was this little kid, like, I had no chance of playing varsity. Our starting quarterback broke records at Southern Connecticut.
Yeah.
So I was never, ever going to see the field. And they're all going, oh my God, like, going nuts. I was like, damn, I'm all fired up. And then the defensive end's looking at me like, the next time you have the ball, I'm going to destroy you.
You don't have a headache anymore.
What are you doing? What are you doing, little dude? Like, if I was looking at you, I would have punished you.
Yeah.
But that's not, like, so when I saw that block, everybody's all excited about it. I'm like, yeah, because the guys are like, why is Russell Wilson running down the field? So I'm glad you didn't bring that up. But I like Atlanta in this game. I like that you chose against me. We'll find out. I'm a little disappointed you took Baltimore because I was really thinking we were going to be opposite on both. But
so this is the thing. In the pool, what I do with the pool is I prognosticate all the way through.
That's like I do it.
Like from the first round on, I just prognosticate and I lay it out.
Because you got to do the numbers. Can we explain the pool a little bit? The pool that I run, you get you're picking no spread, pick all the games. So you get 1 through 11, you have a point value you have to put on the game. So you're very, very confident in a game, you put your 11 points on it. If you win that game, you win 11 points. You're not very confident, you bet a point, and if you lose, now you're not eligible to win that point. So you do kind of have to – I like to get aggressive early because usually the early games are more predictable.
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
You like to go aggressive in the end. Back end. You're a backdoor guy.
Yeah.
That's your thing.
Cause
not recording, I know. You get there.
Yeah, because I want to know – like, I usually back end the points, right? I usually save the 9th and 11 for the championship games and Super Bowl.
Yeah,
because I figure – I'm either out by that time. It won't
and you
matter.
Can, and you can hedge a little if you want. You say, you know what? If I'm running for $500, $600, maybe I'll put $200 on one team and then the other. Little house your father.
Yeah. So I want to make the Super Bowl as interesting as possible. And I figure, even if I get some of the earlier ones wrong, I got Seattle Atlanta wrong, but that was a one pointer.
That was a stupid bet. Why would you ever do that? Should have listened to me. I said take Atlanta.
But it was only one point.
Yeah.
So I figured at least I'm still sort of in the running because I have all those.
You
points.
Want to be able to be.
I have points available.
Yeah.
I have points available.
And if it's lost, you could take the underdog with your 11.
Yeah.
Completely different strategies, different types of things. You know, I lost my Denver game. I took out 8 on it. So I'm in a little bit of trouble, but I have a chance at it. You know?
No, because I learned my lesson with New Orleans, Seattle.
Yeah.
I put 10 on that game or some ridiculous number.
Burned you.
Burned me.
Never forget, buddy.
Beast mode burned me. 10-pointer.
All right, well, we're going to get to a 5 and 10, whether or not anybody's listening, I don't know. But we're going to get to a 5 and 10 here. I put one together quickly. First one we can run right through, because we already actually a little bit talked about it, Chip Kelly to the Eagles. We said on the show last week that Chip Kelly was returning. Both the Kellys were returning to college football. I said that it was smart for both of them.
Everyone thought it was a smart move, yeah.
It was a smart move for both of them. I think it's a bad move for Chip Kelly.
I mean, he could have been.
It's a bad move for the Eagles.
And here's the thing. We're saying, oh, God, it's a horrible move. But, like, if Saban and Spurrier have proven anything, it's like, yeah, I give a couple of years in the NFL and then come back to college and dominate.
Yeah. It's not like, yeah, nobody thought when he went to Oregon that he had this vast amount of talent in Oregon.
Yeah.
The fastest people in America happen to live in Oregon, but they're the fastest people in the world that go to his school. He just says, well, if you're fast, you're going to come to Oregon. And I'm like, well, I was thinking about going to USC. No. Come to my school.
I swear to God, those uniforms have some kind of, like, drug in them that the skin absorbs.
The next thing Nike's going to do is that cloaking mask. You see that cloaking thing? Like, they're going to have, like, now you can't even see it. They come to the line of scrimmage, the quarterback, and they all just go invisible, and they win games. That's just going to happen. And that, I blame on Barack Obama's economy. Gun control.
Gun control.
All right. Second thing, did you see Matt Kemp's new tattoo?
The grandpapa and me?
Grandmama. No.
And Nan and Peepaw, yeah. I haven't seen it.
And pop pop on his chest. You gotta pull it up. It's no joke, dude. And now, I mean, it's like his chest is now. Oh yeah, that's my grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
The thing is, do you know what that's gonna be for him? Gotta take up his chest. You know what that's gonna be when he brings. Now, not that Matt can't be any problem.
Yeah, like it did look like they're living in spy and body.
He looks like he would see through them. But when not that he needs any help with women. You imagine you bring a girl back, you have you like, you know what, you're not sure if you're gonna close the deal. Go back to my house, you take your shirt off, there's a picture of your grandma and grandpa. It's a done deal.
Well, it's not
girls
are
gonna eat that up.
It's not only a done deal, but it's like you're trying to, if you're Matt Kemp, you're trying to gauge, okay, how freaky is this girl gonna get? I'm gonna show her the tattoo.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God. Then you know it, there's no rules. There's no old barn. You can try any of it.
Yeah. That's it. That's when you say, call your agent and say, make sure there's no paparazzi outside.
I'm going to be
awful.
Yeah.
Things are awful in L.A. tonight.
The blinds are coming down.
That's right. Things are getting crazy. The rubber sheets are coming out.
But if you're a girl, like, this is that tattoo, that's like, you can't ride on top. You can't do
that.
There are certain positions you just can't do unless you got some kind of weird fetish.
Yeah, that grandpa's looking at you
like, hey, what are you doing?
Hey.
This is my little boy.
It's my pride and joy.
I remember when he was yay big.
My little pumpkin right there.
Now he's yay big.
So, yeah, I just thought we had to bring up that tattoo. Number three, how about we talked about Carmelo Anthony. You brought up the, obviously, Don Cherry's comment. But now they're recording trash talking. They have guys in stands with these, you know, recording devices.
You know what happened? Go ahead.
I mean, I opened the show and I was like, all my sports teams are messes. They all are. They're all crazy and this and that. But this almost gave me like a little thing like that is such a move by the Jets for the Mets. It's like, my God, this isn't just me. This is not the team. And I hate the Knicks. Can't stand the Knicks. So the fact that the Knicks are doing this, it gave me like a little moment of solace. I'm like, other teams do horrible, stupid things. You get brought to the attention, you get the back page. And they had the picture of the guy holding the thing. Like that little spy kits used to get. Dude, like, I'm just fine. You know?
Like, if you're on the other team, you just go up and you'd be like, honey, nut cheerio.
Oh, the whole time. The entire time. I would be saying the atrocious thing. And then I would raise my hand, like, you know, when a guy makes a foul and raises his hand. Like, I did that. I said it. It was me.
Like, what are they going to do? This is what I don't understand. They're going to submit it. What happens after you record them trash talking?
You're like, Carmelo.
You submit it to the league?
Carmelo, so-and-so said this.
Like, does it justify the fact that he can go and punch him? I don't understand the point.
Exactly.
Like,
it's like Forrest was sitting in the stands holding his thing. And at the end of the day,
you're like, I cannot believe they're paying me for this.
Getting money for this.
Yeah.
And I'm way drunk doing this.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, they're like, oh, we listen to that. And they, you know what? What's crazy? They swear.
Yeah.
Some of those guys say the F word.
Sometimes they talk about the mama's
both F word. It's like, you know, what is the point of it? It almost was like, thank God, the Knicks. And we had a caller a few weeks ago call in and say the Knicks are a joke. People that are talking about
that's
them.
Right. That's right. Cause, and
they were 16-5. Now they're, 23-10.
And that's for like
a game and a half behind.
Game and a half.
Game and a half behind them. Last we saw, they were winning.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on now.
Oh,
no, they're losing.
By the way. Oh, no. I got 2 points. One is, of course, I make my bold prediction about how they're going to lose in the Eastern Conference, Finals. And the only comment I got on my article was, like, you are outside your mind.
Out of your cord.
Yeah. But then on top of that, Carmelo Anthony has been fasting for the past 15 days.
You don't mess with food.
Why?
You got no time for it.
Why? Why do you have a weight problem? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Chubby cheeks and all.
He's single now. Lala's gone.
Where do you think Lala's gone?
They haven't lived together. That came out, too. They haven't lived together in, like, a couple months. They're living separately.
Does she exist?
I can't imagine Lala exists. Show me.
Roddy T is behind Lala.
I want a birth certificate. I want Bill Maher to guarantee $5 million. Bill, I'm sure you're listening. Put up $5 million. We need Lala's birth certificate, social security number, address. If she doesn't come to studio, she doesn't exist.
I need a lot of documentation on Lala.
Yeah. I don't care if she's on Z100.
I need to see her in person for this for me to believe.
Lala. I know you're listening.
Ronnie T, we know you're behind us.
Get Ronnie. So we have the Supo in. Get on it. The guy's got free time. His one scam is gone. You only got to outdo yourself.
Yeah. He's like Houdini. He's got to one-up.
This is going to be his Django Unchained.
Here's my other point.
Okay. The other point.
No. So we got the Nets and the Hawks playing tonight. Have you listened to the promo on FAN for this Nets Hawks game?
No, there's not.
They were like, Joe Johnson, he used to play for the Hawks. Now he plays for the Nets. We call it revenge. Like, and they were like, and see what happens when a player goes to another team is that he feels as though they explain.
Why
would you be excited about Joe Johnson
own a house?
Yeah.
You didn't get fair market value.
No,
we paid more taxes. And unfortunately they look like they're gonna not pull this one out, but let's go, Brooklyn. Stand up. Let's get over to the Mets real quick. Are we talking about horrible organization? Why are they not making a huge play for Justin Upton? And I think they really can. And here's the trade. We normally don't do big, like, trade offer things. But apparently the trade that he rejected to Seattle, and I don't know if the Mets are on his do not trade list or whatever, but he rejected. They were going to send over two relief pitchers, a starting pitching prospect, and a shortstop prospect. Here's my proposal that the Mets should be making, and I think that this is something they should really do. You give up that Syndergaard kid that they just got, the big arm guy they got in the trade for R.A. Dickey. Big arm guy, go ahead, give a shot. They're pretty, you know, they have a bunch of these type of guys in their organization. You also give up Familia, who's a guy who people were big on last year going into the season. Now they're talking about him being like kind of a bullpen guy. You know, big arm, though. You give up Duda. Because there's no room for Duda anymore.
Yeah,
but Duda has shown that he can succeed at the major level.
Yeah.
And then you give up Bobby Parnell. So you have a guy who, you know, so.
I like it.
Would you, as a Met fan,
I don't think anybody said that at all.
Right.
Yeah,
so is that not enough to get Justin Upton when you know that they accepted a deal for.
You're getting a bunch of maybe.
But you're getting a guy. You look at what. Atlanta went out and traded Tommy Hansen for Jordan Walden. I think Bobby Parnell is Jordan Walden. Jordan Walden closed for a little while and stunk. He throws 100 miles an hour, but that's all he does. He's behind in the count all the time. Everything's 2-0, 3-1.
and they traded Tommy Hansen, who was their prize piece a couple years ago, for Jordan Walden. So I think that there's value out there for Bobby Parnell because the guy throws 100 miles an hour. Syndergaard's another guy that you think you have potential for. Familia. And then you have Lucas Duda, who in that ballpark could put up 25 home runs. You know what I mean? And you say to yourself, well,
I'm not familiar with Arizona, though. They don't have anyone in first base, right? Because you're not going to put him in the outfield again.
I think they could put him in the outfield.
Ugh.
Like, look, he's not a good outfielder. There's plenty of not good outfielders out there.
Not an outfielder.
I don't think that of the four guys I listed, I think he's like the throw-in type piece. I mean, you're not going to give him four, like, studs because they're looking to trade this guy. So, you know, I don't think that Justin Upton is the guy that's going to be like, we'll do it. If you do Lucas Duda. But I don't understand why they're not even, like, entertaining the idea. Like, they're not even in the hunt. Whenever I see, like, Roto World or all those places talking about trade rumors, the Mets aren't really in the hunt. But they have pieces now. You know, you're not talking about Wheeler or Harvey. But you have other pieces. I don't think Mejia is even a viable piece anymore, although a lot of Mets fans do.
He's 20. He's like 21.
Yeah, but he's been hurt. He has Tommy John. He's 5'10", 150 pounds. It's like, he was 20 when he came up, and that was 2 years ago. He's got to be 23 now. I think that Mejia is
not. You're going to give up on a 23-year-old.
I'm not saying give up on him, but I don't think he's.
Hamilton didn't even become a star until he was like 30.
Mejia's a pitcher, and he's a little guy. And those type of guys tend to not last. You look at Tim Lincecum out his season.
Did they call me Mike Hampton in last? He's a small dude.
Mike Hampton. A little engine that could, Mikey Hampton. All I'm saying is I think that he can succeed in the majors. I just don't think that other teams are, like, clamoring to get Henry Mejia.
I think they're interested in this guy.
Well, Stanton is the guy you want to get. I would do the same package for Stanton in a heartbeat. And maybe they would do that because none of those contracts are worth anything. You know, Duda's making the league minimum. He's not arbitration eligible for a few years. And then you have the list of guys I just named. None of those guys are making any money.
What's holding up him being dealt anywhere? That's the point right here because he wasn't dealt last year.
Who?
Upton?
Upton. We have no trade clause with a bunch of teams. He's got to approve the trade. But I can't imagine he doesn't want to come to New York. Just for the
and play with David Wright, who supposedly is like his bud.
It's his bud. Well, him and his brother BJ are best friends, and Justin was the bat boy. He could be the bat boy. If he wants, he can collect the bats and do all that. We'll let him do that if he wants to come to Swap Stream.
Right.
You know, it's like, so that's the holdup.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think that the Mets should be a player in that market because they don't have the money to give, you know, to pay Justin Upton. And he's making not horrible money right now because he signed the pre-arbitration deal. So he's probably making 12 to 15 a year. I don't know what he's making, but it's not like he's making 25 a year. This guy could be the best player in baseball. Like, he's best outfit, you know, he's a five-tool guy. Why aren't the Mets making a play for him? We're supposed to just trust that Sandy Alderson knows what he's doing. He did a great job with the Andres Torres trade.
Oh.
All right, well, let's get to the last thing. We'll keep on the Mets.
Can you imagine that? That would really piss me off. Zach Wheeler for Justin Upton?
Yeah, we wouldn't do that. I would never do that. I wouldn't trade the two guys. Those are getting on your list.
That's one of my four all-stars next year.
I heard it. My man, Matt Harvey's going for 200 strikeouts this year, according to my guy.
Well, we got to save him, you know, to make sure that he hits his innings, and then we sit him for the playoffs. That's what we got to do.
Clearly, that's the recipe for success here. Last one. Got to give a quick plug. Not even a plug, but so the 7 Line. You familiar with the 7 Line?
Yeah.
Mets t-shirts.
Yeah.
They're doing an outing. And a couple of our listeners suggested that we kind of, like, put a group together to go to them. They have t-shirts out that says, "High on the Mets." And they're putting an outing together for 420. So April 20th, you can go to the games, $45. You get a T-shirt. You get entry to the game. You get some little giveaway or whatever. I think we should go. I have a couple of listeners that have said we should go to this, do a Tri-State Sports Guys outing. I think we can get a dozen guys. Tickets go on sale this I'm looking at what you're looking at. I think that tickets go on sale on Friday. Do you want to go to that game?
Yes.
Let's do it.
I don't care what day it is.
So it's a group game, seven lines. You're going to get your T-shirt. You're going to get Thunder Sticks.
Is that the T-shirt, though? Is the T-shirt that says $45 on it?
No. The T-shirt says high on the map. The game is $45.
Yeah.
It is $45, but I think we should do it. So I think anybody who's listening right now, if you're interested in going, email us.
They're playing the NAP, too, so you know it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. I think, Strasburg's already on an angle on it. So we go to that game. I think we should go to it. I think we can put together a contingency of like 10, 12 guys, represent Tri-State Sports guys.
If we don't get 420 guys, we'd be disappointed.
I'd be shocked if we don't. Well, Neil, I'm pretty sure the last 24 minutes are not recorded, but if they were, you guys got a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
That's bonus time.
That's like
bonus
free.
Time from TSG.
That's free.
From us to you.
Yeah.
Courtesy, Manti Te'o. Ladies, he's single. If you have a Twitter account, you have a chance.
You can be his beard.
Yeah,
I'll buy that much.
So we'll be back next week. Hopefully Tony D's on the mend.
We're going to go.
If not, we're in the market for a new producer.
We're going to go 4 hours next
week. Next week, overnight, slumber party, right here.
So bring your PJs.
Bring
your scary movies.
I'll make the s'mores. Perry Avenue Barnes, bro. We're the Tri-State Sports Guys. Check us out at tristatesportsguys.com. Facebook.com/Tri-State Sports Guys. We'll see
Twitter
you next week.
Twitter says Tri-State_Sports.
I have no idea what that is. Thing is, but what is Tri-State_Sports?
Yeah, why not?
Sounds good. All right. We'll see you next week, folks.